and welcome to the first episode of Home Detectives. I am your host, Nicole, and I have my co-host here with me.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
So today we're going to be talking about Ed Gein. He is probably my favorite true crime person, just because he's inspired a lot of things, and he's deeply demented, so... You know, he's just a all-around cool guy. So, do you know anything about, like, Ed Gein or how the podcast is going to work? You said that you've never even heard a podcast before.
No, I've heard of them. I have not listened to podcasts. So, I know... What I know from Ed Gein is that he was the inspiration for the movie Psycho, which is what you have let me know.
Yeah. And that's it? Okay. That's it. So, yeah, he was the inspiration for the movie Psycho. He was the inspiration for a lot of movies, like Silence of the Lambs. He was the inspiration for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And the character, I believe it's Dr. Oliver Thredson from American Horror Story Asylum. And so, Ed Gein was born on August 27th, 1906. He had a very rough childhood, which I think really contributed to like the things he did later on in his life. His dad, George Gein, was an alcoholic, and he had trouble keeping a job, so they had a lot of struggles there. And his mom, Augusta, was really strange, I guess. And when they eventually moved to a farm, she basically isolated her sons and only let Ed Gein and his older brother Henry leave for school. She was incredibly religious to the point where it was a bit extreme, and basically told her sons that every woman except for her was the devil's work. Yeah. And she would read selections from the Bible, which, you know, like, sounds nice, like, every afternoon to get together, except she would only read ones that were about death and murder. So...
She was preconditioning
them. Yeah, yeah. And I feel really bad for Ed because... Like, he's just a kid, and he just kind of wants to, you know, be a normal kid. But his mom would punish him whenever he tried to make friends. So, like, he had no friends, and whenever he tried to get one, his mom would not let him. So.
What about his older brother?
His older brother, I'm pretty sure, was the same thing. His mom was just, like, really, really overbearing and not like, a...
What's nurturing.
Yes, not nurturing. She didn't have that mothering instinct, and his father wasn't there at all either, so. The two brothers were kind of on their own. His dad later died in 1940, and the two brothers started to do odd jobs to help around the house. Ed really liked to do babysitting, and he felt like he could connect with the kids, and he just liked being around them. And I suppose coming from the backstory of, like, you know, Ed killed people. That kind of sounds weird, but I honestly think that he just, like, wanted to help out, and he liked kids. There's nothing bad. He didn't want to kill them or anything. He just liked kids. But I do think Ed might have had something to do with the next part. I'm not very sure. I'd like to hear your opinions on it. Him and his brother Henry were burning vegetation on the farm, but the fire got out of control, and so they had to call the fire department. Later, when the fire was put out, Henry was missing. They sent out a search party and later found him dead, lying face down on the ground. The weird part is, right, that he had been dead for a long time, but it wasn't the fire that had killed him. He was completely, like, removed from all burned parts of the farm. He was not at all related to the fire. So at first, everyone thought that he had died from heart failure because... There was really no other explanation. But the coroner reported that he had died from smoke asphyxiation, which, again, is really weird because he was found so far away from where the fire had actually taken place. And he had bruises on his head that weren't there before. So I think that's suspicious, like there was a struggle, but the police eventually just decided to say it was an accident. So what do you...
My thought is that they probably got into a fight over something and Ed Gaines killed him.
Yeah. Like, at the very least, there is definitely some other reason he died, and the bruises have to play a part into it a little bit. I would think maybe Ed, like, started the fire on purpose as a distraction for the fire department, but that wouldn't make a lot of sense because he's just, like, bringing all of these people onto his property that wouldn't have normally been there.
I'm wondering if they were fighting when they were burning the vegetation, and they were not keeping track of it because they were fighting, so that is why it got out of hand.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense. So, once Henry died, his mom was really devastated, and eventually she had a stroke. So, she was paralyzed, partially paralyzed, and Ed had to take care of her. Later, she died on December 29th, 1945, after another stroke. And so now, we get into the premonitioning of the weird things that he's going to start doing, and this is kind of where the Norman Bates ties into it. Because, you know, how Norman Bates was so obsessed with... If you haven't seen the movie Psycho or heard about it, Norman Bates was very attached to his mother, and when she died he couldn't exactly cope with the death, so he just, you know, kept his mom's dead body around and just went on with the hotel business. And yeah, that's where this is going to come into it, because yeah, Ed was a bit strange with his mother's passing, and like, people have different ways of grieving, but his grieving process went on too long. He boarded up all of the rooms that his mother used, which includes the upstairs, the living room, and the downstairs parlor, and he wouldn't touch them at all. They were basically completely separated from the house. And the other rooms were all used normally, and eventually they became really, really dirty and messed up. But the other rooms were just completely untouched for 12 years, which... like, at that point, you have to accept that and move on, at least, like, a little bit. You have to kind of accept the fact. I think if he was able to, he probably would have left those rooms completely alone until the day that he died. But, he was caught in 1957. Not exactly caught, I suppose, but, you know, everything was discovered that he had done. When a store owner named Bernice Warden went missing. Her son Frank later entered the store at 5 p.m., which was almost 7.5 hours after she was last seen. Which, I guess you could say is a long time, but to hear the things that he did within those 7 hours, he was like really, really invested in completely destroying and mutilating her body. It's really disturbing. So, when Frank entered the store, the cash register was open, and I can only assume empty, and there were bloodstains on the counter. So Frank, being a deputy sheriff, was freaked out, and since Ed Gaines was the last person his mother had written a receipt for, he was the first suspect. So the police were immediately sent to his house, and I feel really bad for Frank, because your mom going missing is one thing. But finding your mom...
That was his wife.
No, it was his mom.
Oh, it was his mother?
Yeah. Yeah. It was his, mom who went missing. And so, seeing your mom hung upside down, decapitated, and gutted like a deer in Ed Gaines' shed is a pretty horrible thing to take in all at once. I've seen a gutted deer before. My grandpa showed it to me when I was at his house once, because he's like a hunter. You never want to see a person like that. Like, a deer is one thing. It's an animal. I mean, it's still kind of upsetting to see an animal hung like that, but to see, especially your own mom, gutted like a deer and hung upside down is really not the best thing that you want to see in your life. But that's the first thing. They went inside his house, and this is a long list, very long, and I tried to shorten it, keep out the most disturbing parts, but it's still a pretty long and really weird list, so bear with me. First of all, they found human bones, just, you know, like, scattered around and stuff. A waste basket made out of human skin, where he would just, you know, put his garbage, just normal thing to do, with a waste basket that you've made out of someone's skin. There were skin covering chairs and seats that he would regularly use, so he would sit on someone's dead body and just read the newspaper. There was also a lampshade made out of someone's face that I believe he had in his bedroom, which, it's just really weird.
So it sounds like he used a lot of hunter-type techniques, but it doesn't seem like he was an avid hunter.
He wasn't at all, no. I don't think,
So it's odd that he was able to kind of, I guess, teach himself or learn these awful ways of taking apart a body.
Yeah, his father wasn't a very, like, avid hunter, and neither was Henry, and so I don't know where exactly he learned this. He probably got it from books or just whatever he could find. Probably a lot of experimentation. But, yeah, and so that's just the first part of it. He also liked skulls. Like, he really liked skulls. There were skulls on his bedpost. He would eat out of bowls made from them. And there were just skulls with the top sewn off, hanging around on shelves. And the skull of Mary Hogan, a woman who had been missing since 1945. And the weirdest part of this all was that he would actually wear some of the skin. So he had leggings made out of thighs, a corset made from a female torso that had been skinned from the shoulders down to the waist, a belt made out of nipples, which I don't even know how you can acquire enough nipples to make a belt. Like, that's a lot to stretch around a waist. And literal face masks that he would put on and just have someone else's actual face.
That's kind of like the Silence of the Lambs.
I've never actually seen that movie, so I have no idea what you're talking about. It does remind me of this one episode of Doctor Who. I think it was the first one with the 12th Doctor. And for those of you who don't watch Doctor Who, you should. I am absolutely obsessed with this show. I've already thought of way too many references to it. I believe Cassandra, for one. That was the second episode with Rose, with the 9th Doctor, when he took her to see the end of the Earth. And Cassandra was the, quote, last human, but she was just a piece of skin with a face on it. And she would have to be moisturized or else she would dry out. And that's basically Ed Gein. He would just take pieces of skin and lay them out and, you know, keep them like that. And then with the 12th Doctor and Clara, that was the one with Vostra, Jenny, and Strax. And they were basically terrorized in, I believe, Victorian London by this really, really weird robot thing from the time that Vastra lived, you know, like the prehistoric era, because Vastra is a lizard. I'm just realizing how weird this sounds.
I'm a little lost.
And you watch it too. You watch it too. So, you know, people are going to be like, I've never watched the show. Even if you have watched the show, you're going to be like, what are you talking about?
Trying to see the connection.
Okay, so basically, Clara and the doctor got sent down under a restaurant that was owned by the weird robot person. And Clara found more, you know, robot things. And the doctor gave her one of the face things that the robots would wear to kind of blend in with people because they looked like, you know, 18th century robots, so they had to have people, like, they had to look like people in order to not get caught, so to say. And she put one over her face, and then she realized that it was an actual face, and she just, you know, I'm making this sound like a lot worse than it should be. Wow. Doctor Who is messed up. Oh my god. Wow, this is a messed up show. Why do I watch this? It's such a good show, too. Okay. Straying from that, he also had some miscellaneous body parts, which included 4 noses, female fingernails, and a pair of lips that was on his windows. Just because he could. I'm not exactly sure, like, how he attached the lips. Like, your lips are just, like, did he cut around them, or was it just the lips and then he sewed them together?
Were these things preserved? Was there
no they were all burned stench? And yes, he said he never, that's also something he said that he never had sex with the bodies or anything because they smelled so bad. And yeah, after they were examined by the police, they were all destroyed.
So these are not all people he killed. These are people who are already dead?
Yeah, so technically he can't be classified as a serial killer because he's only been accused and, like, found guilty of 2 confirmed murders. And a serial killer is classified as someone who has killed at least 3 people. Yeah, the rest of the bodies were from grave sites that he would dig up and take home. Sometimes he would specifically look for the bodies of people who resembled his late mother and take them home so he could, quote, wear their skin.
So nobody noticed that all these grave sites were being
ruined. I don't understand. He said that he stole them from graves that had recently had funerals, so the actual coffins weren't, like, completed yet. So he, you know, just went and stole the bodies, and no one seemed to notice that there wasn't a body there before they... How do you not notice that there's a body missing? Like, it kind of baffles me that no one reported this beforehand. He was never really found guilty for any other murders, but he was obviously suspected for a lot of them, such as that of Evelyn Hartley, who went missing, I believe, in 1943 or 53. I'm not sure. I didn't mark it down. During his trial for the murders of Mary Hogan and Bernice Worden, he pleaded not guilty by reasons of insanity and was taken to a mental institution for schizophrenia. He also testified that the killing of Bernice Worden was an accident. The gun had fired by itself while he was examining it. He claims that he doesn't remember firing it, he doesn't remember aiming it, but he also claims that he doesn't remember exhuming some of the bodies. So I'm not really sure if it's an accident. I think he did it, but didn't exactly remember doing it. He probably had a split personality thing going on. Yeah, so the accident thing of Bernice Worden is a complete lie to me. But he stuck by that statement until the day he died on July 26th, 1984 from cancer. He was never released from the mental institution. Today, his grave is unmarked, but he is buried between his brother and his parents. And as we said in the beginning, he's inspired a lot of famous movies and books, like Psycho, etc., etc.
Now, was his mother found in his house?
I believe so. I believe that she was one of the suits that he had that he would literally slip on and just kind of become his mother, and you know, just like the torso was split open, he just like a onesie. It was like a onesie. He would wear human skins like a onesie. He said that he went to the graveyard over 40 times, but around 30 of them he decided to just go home. You know, it's a good day, I'm not gonna take anyone's body. So that's basically all I have. Do you have any final thoughts?
Wow.
yeah, I know.
I don't know. I don't know what would possess. It didn't sound like his childhood was traumatic enough to spawn into that kind of level of.
I do feel like his mother played a huge part in this, because as far as we know, all of his victims, whether from grave sites or murders, were female. And his mother had an incredible grudge against any woman besides herself. So I do think that she was a big part in who he became.
Very interesting.
Yep, most certainly. So I think that'll do it for the first episode of Home Detectives. I've been your host, Nicole, and my co-host is here also. I don't know why. She's here too. So, I guess we'll see you next week or whenever we decide to make another episode. Bye!